across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, with lions roaming the streets of Sydney, we've got the dart guns out and we're going on safari. Also today, we speak exclusively to that, quote, fat, flatulent windbag, Michael Caine, about his war of words with fellow actor Richard Harris. We've got the lowdown on the disaster which has brought the filming of Tom Cruise's Mission Impossible to a standstill. As always, we'll play Radio Gladiators, and joining us live, one of the stars, writers, directors, and dammit, she runs up the cozzies in her lunch break for Frontline, Jane Kennedy. It's all coming up on the show that today it's just one big lion park. Martin Malloy.
SAFM.
People, welcome to another week of Martin Malloy with myself, Tony Martin, as you know. And this bloke here, a man who over the weekend discovered the hero within himself and bought him a drink, Mick Malloy.
Oh, I'm drinking for two now, Tone.
Good on you, Mick. Now, you comfy in the chair?
I'm very comfy. This is good. Good way to start the week.
Well, you don't get too comfy because you've got to be on duty, because we're about to go with another episode of Mick Malloy's Celebrity Corner.
Thank you, one and all, and welcome to Mick's Celebrity Corner. Gracie again on the piano. Thank you very much. I must admit, starting to annoy somewhat. Must have a word about that. Maybe we can change your instrument. But in the meantime, let's plough on. A major feud has broken out between two of Britain's top actors. Last week in a newspaper article, Michael Caine referred to Richard Harris as a drunk. Harris has retaliated, calling Caine a fat, flatulent windbag, passing off his vast limitations as pious virtues. We've got the windbag in question on the line now from Los Angeles. Michael Caine, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, mate, loud and clear.
Right. Do these comments by Richard Harris anger you?
Yes, I do. And as you know, when I get angry, my voice gets very, very loud and I start shouting.
Yes, we know. Now, Richard obviously objects to being referred to as a drunk.
Yes, I realise that now. It was uncalled for. In fact, I called him up yesterday to apologise.
And what did he say?
I've no idea. He was pissed as a fart.
Speaking of which, what about his claims that you're a flatulent windbag?
Sorry, what was that?
Richard Harris says that.
Jesus, sorry about this, Mick. A bit of trouble by it, I'm afraid. What was your question?
Richard Harris says...
Jesus, can we open a window? Sorry, Mick, Richard Harris said what?
Never mind.
Listen, the guy's a pisspot. He's talking out his arse.
He's not the only one by the sound of it.
Sorry, Mick, it's these location meals. I haven't been the same since Zulu.
Right. Harris has also mocked you, comparing yourself to Gene Hackman, saying Hackman is a dangerous and intimidating actor, whereas you're as dangerous as Laurel and Hardy with a plank of wood.
Yes, I think he's referring to my last film, On Deadly Ground, where I did in fact star with a plank of wood, Steven Seagal.
Right, he also says...
Sorry?
He says you're as intimidating as Shirley Temple.
No, look, I don't have to stand here and be insulted. I'm far too busy filming this remake of Wee Willie Winky. Okay, let's do a take.
Michael Caine, thanks for your time.
On the good ship, Lollipop, it's a...
That's Mr. Fergal Sharkey. You remember him here on Martin Malloy. And, Mick, I think it's time. I know you love doing it even more than Celebrity Corner. It's time to hit the gong.
Oh!
And now, join us on a voyage of discovery as we venture into the mind of one of Australia's most flamboyant footballers and eavesdrop on his innermost thoughts. This is the inner life of Warwick Capa.
Gone on long enough, don't you? Yes, we get the idea. Let's see what's happening over on ABC FM. Yes, they're much more sensible.
That was a rather unnecessary pause. And there's another one. You're listening to ABC FM, older music and more of it. Have you made the switch? Let's find out what's happening out on the streets as we cross to Alistair in one of the Grey Thunders.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
Splendid. Just splendid. What's happening?
Well, we're parked rather comfortably outside the concert hall, distributing ABC FM cravats, dinner jackets and copies of the new compact disc by Johann Sebastian Bach.
Wonderful. And just a reminder, Bachtober is just months away.
Hold on, Michael. The van seems to be moving. I'm surrounded by boisterous youngsters. We don't have any silver chair. Please don't roll the van. I've got to take it over to the opera house to judge today's dash for Debussy.
Well, a slight technical problem there. So in the meantime, let's find out why you've made the switch to ABC FM.
I've made the switch because, quite frankly, that other station is abominable. Last week, I heard one of their announcers mispronounce Stravinsky. You gentlemen, on the other hand, seem to have a lot more fun. Last Wednesday, when Douglas and the Morning Jesters decided to play the opening refrain from Mozart's Don Giovanni at the incorrect speed, my wife and I shared a knowing smile, something we haven't done since 1963. Bravo, ABC FM, you really do go right off.
Well, thank you. And now, Beethoven's Unfinished Symphony in D. Well, I'm afraid he didn't get very far with that one at all.
That's the blowfish under the baton of Maestro Hootie here.
On your Hootie.
On Martin Malloy. Can't get it. I just love saying Hootie and the blowfish.
Hootie. I'm going to change my name by default to Hootie.
Good on you, Mick. Now, there's lions everywhere in Sydney. Have you heard about
Knee
this?
Knee deep in them.
It's on the front of the afternoon papers. There's lions loose, residents told to stay inside. It's some kind of lion park. I think it might have been an abandoned lion park. There was probably
my favourite kind.
A Batman villain had his hideout set up there and he left one of the locks off. But I really worry about this. I think all the lions have been tranquilised and captured now. But really, what is the procedure when you've got lions in your street? What do you do?
Well, I don't know.
There's not a leaflet. They don't send out a brochure for this one, do they, people?
No.
And Australians need to know. So pass over the phone, Mick. We're going to call up one of the zoos. I think the
Someone's got to do it. That's what, you know, I just can't believe it's got to this stage where lions are running around the street. No one's bothered. And I mean, why weren't we told?
Only this program is offering to help out. I'm calling
up...
told
it could happen.
The education department.
Good.
I don't think they'd have an education department at Melbourne Zoo, I think it is. And I'm picturing lions sitting at blackboards myself. Let's see what happens. Here we go.
Education, Leonie speaking.
Hello, Leonie. This is Tony Martin and Mick Malloy calling from the Martin Malloy radio program.
Yes?
We're looking to find somebody who can speak to us about lions. Are you the person for the job?
What did you want to know?
Well, they've had a lot of lions loose in the streets up in Sydney today. Have you heard about that?
Someone told me about it.
Yes, there's lions everywhere. They're just, you know, smashing into shops and stealing videos, that kind of thing. We're just wondering if people do see lions coming up their street, what's the standard procedure?
They've caught them all, haven't they?
Well, they have now. They've been taken into custody and given a stern talking to.
Something like this, an outbreak like this, do you think that's just been a spur of a moment thing on the lions' behalf, or do you think there's been some planning? Do you think they've, you know, spent the last few months sitting around talking about it? Waiting till, you know, the night's right, the wardens are in bed, everything's cool and giving it a go?
Oh, you're not serious.
Oh, we're deadly serious.
I can tell you the serious side about it. The wardens, they will have dart guns to sedate it.
Right, what about a bit of chair work? You know how at the circus you see people going in with the chairs?
Oh, no, I don't think a chair would work, no.
Well, what is the story with chairs? Why do they use chairs at the circus?
I don't know why they use them.
Is the idea that the lion's going to have a look and go, whoa, pretty comfy, a fancy bit of a sit down? Is that the idea?
I don't think so. I don't know. Why do they use chairs at the circus? They're circus animals. They're totally different.
Okay, don't worry. Our producer has actually got the answer. Do you want to... Because this could be interesting. What's the story, Gracie?
Because the lion does not know. He thinks it's four legs coming at him and is confused and doesn't know which one to swing at.
Oh, right. So
that's purely to confuse
so
the lion.
So you wouldn't want to let... So if the lion was let loose in, say, David Jones' furniture department, he'd just be shitting itself.
Hey, he's dead. Confused.
In fact, and just to confuse the lions at the zoo there, you should probably, in the cage next to them, just keep a whole heap of chairs, you know, like around the pond and in the trees. So
okay.
It kind of thinks, oh, hang on a second.
Are you writing these ideas down?
Yeah, I'm writing them down. I'm going to pass them on to our keeper. Okay. And they'll really appreciate that information. Cheers. Okay.
Bit of furniture. Now, listen, one thing that happened was a dog that, so that it wouldn't be eaten, pretended to be dead. Now, is that a good idea? Should people be going out and having acting lessons just so they can get a hang of, you know, looking dead in case a lion comes down the street?
Is that what the dog did, played dead?
Mm. Yeah, it was. I think it might have been that Bob Morrison. What do you think? Is that good advice?
I would. I'd play dead, I think.
Now, what about the lions themselves? Why would they want to escape? Is your lion a naturally escaping kind of animal? Is the inclination to get out of there, get the sunnies on, get on a plane, head back to Africa? Is that what their aim is?
You're asking these questions. What? I'm sweating and I'm red in the face here.
So it's kind of like, what is it like? I mean, they're like sailors on shore leave, are they? They've just decided to, you know, get a leave pass for the weekend and kick up the feet on the town.
Our lions are so happy here. They've got the most beautiful enclosure.
Why do you think these lions escaped? Do you think believe there was outside involvement? Do you think, you know, some of the other animals were corroborating on this?
Do you think I reckon they're the brains behind the whole thing.
They kind of look cute behind their enclosures, but I reckon, if you see, they've got beady little eyes, and I reckon they're up to it.
Uh-huh.
I reckon they put the lions, the antelopes.
The antelopes?
I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them. What about your antelopes? They'd be up to trouble, wouldn't they?
Well, go and have a look now. I'll bet you they're not there.
Have we got antelopes? Yeah. Oh, we've got antelopes here, but they're... Black buck?
Well, see, he sounds like trouble right away.
No.
Black buck? Oh, jeez, watch out for him. He's probably printing counterfeit money.
I can't believe you're doing this. I don't really know much about it. I haven't read the paper yet. I'm in here so early and we work so hard that we don't have time to read the paper or have the radio on during the day.
Paul Keating's still the Prime Minister, in case you're interested.
Great. Just made my day.
You know, Just Kidding, that show where they pull a few nutty pranks.
Yes.
You don't think they could be behind this? Just for a few laughs, they've let a few lions out.
I don't think so, no.
If you see Stephen Jacobs in a pair of sunnies, you know, looking shifty round the zoo, I'd call somebody with a dart gun right away.
Oh, yeah, and take that chair off him.
Okay.
All right, well, thanks very much for your help today. Is it Leonie?
Yes.
Good on you.
Okay.
Bye. Thanks very much to Leonie at the Melbourne Zoo for helping us out with the lion education program we're trying to launch here on Martin Molloy. And do you think, what did we learn there? I think we've learned, obviously, chairs.
Mm-hmm.
We've learned acting lessons.
Absolutely.
We've learned something about wearing sunnies. I don't know. Was that of any help at all, that segment?
Look, I think it's a lot clearer for people out there. I think if people now walk in the street and see a lion, they'll know exactly what to do.
And they'll know.
Which I believe is taking to Stephen Jacobs with a dart gun.
And they'll know who to thank. The fine folk at Martin Molloy, where Jane Kennedy is going to be coming in the next hour to talk a bit more about Frontline, which, of course, is on tonight on the ABC.
Mm-hmm.
And also coming up, Radio Gladiators.
This is Martin Molloy.
Now it has...
The place, of course, is the studios of Martin Molloy, which is really the most organised, most systematically thought-out and advanced radio program on the air. And, you know, I have no idea what comes next. What is happening, Mick?
Oh, I think we're about to talk to someone in a top hat, aren't we?
But that, of course, is part of...
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
That's right. We've already made contact with Safari Parks and I think Michael Caine on the program today.
Absolutely.
Let's see if we can get a man in a top hat. Are you there, Commissioner Rodney Myers?
I certainly am.
Now, Rodney is in fact the commissioner down at Le Meridian at the Rialto, and we've rhapsodised at length about the absolute features and glory and majesty of Le Meridian. And Rodney, what you don't know is that earlier in the day, we had our producer sneak in and put five names in your top hat.
Yes.
And we want you to reach into it and pull out a winner for the trip for last week's competition, okay?
Well, just a sec, I'll take it off.
All right.
It's now off. And I have a name.
Yes, and the winner is?
Is Robert Bartram.
Robert Bartram is our winner today. That's just been the highlight of your day doing that for us, hasn't it, Rodney?
Has.
Okay, and it's a classy joint, isn't it, Le Meridian?
Well, we believe so.
You've got the gig from all time. You get to go to Le Meridian every day. And I'm in the shops on Monday. I'm trying on top hats, and I'm coming after your job, buddy, because it doesn't get any better than that, does it?
No, not at all, especially this weather.
Okay, seen any lions?
Okay.
Get yourself a chair.
Yeah, okay.
A chair and a top hat. There's a good look on the front of a hotel.
Yes, I need the whip. I've got the outfit for it.
All right, thanks very much, Rodney.
You're very welcome.
Okay, let's get back to business here on Radio Gladiators, and we've got another trip. Another weekend for two at Le Meridian in the bag. And what do you have to do to be in the running? Well, it's a simple one today. We're talking personalised number plates. We want wanky examples. We want stupid examples. We want misguided examples of personalised number plates that either A, you've got yourself, or B, you've seen on your journeys about the streets.
Absolutely. Doesn't get any simpler than that, does it?
It's really quite simple. So, of course, you're playing for the three-pack of CDs. I just better check, have we still got the three-pack? Yes, it's still there and looking and sounding as shiny and good as ever. And you go into the draw for the weekend for two at Le Meridian. We know all about that. If you'd like to play, call now 1-800-657-657.
Martin Molloy on the new SAFM.
We're man in the phones like nobody's business here on Martin Molloy. And by the way, the song we just heard, Water Runs Dry, Boys to Men. We're playing Radio Gladiators. Mm. We're looking for interesting, unusual, or preferably just crappy examples of personalised number plates.
They all kind of fit under that canopy, I think, Tone.
And who have you got for us, Mick?
Well, we've got Deb on the line. G'day, Deb.
Oh, how are you?
Oh, not too bad. Could be better. Now, tell us about your occurrence. What did you see?
We've got a number plate called IOU for one. And it was basically just a birthday present, and we just wanted to come up with something different, and that's what he decided on, so that's what he got.
IO for one?
Yep.
And so it doesn't really mean anything?
Not really, no.
It's just a whimsical notion of yours?
That's right.
Okay, all right, thanks for that, Deb. Have we got anyone else, Mick?
You've got Chris on the line. G'day, Chris.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, mate. What's the number plate you've seen?
Oh, I just saw this guy in a panel van drive past me with T Boner.
I see. Any do you know what that might be all about?
I don't know, mate. Maybe he's packing some small goods.
Making a delivery, so yep. to speak. Was it rocking?
Oh, backwards and forwards all over the place.
All right. I think we've got to the bottom of T Boner. Thank you, Chris.
Let's move along quickly, Mick.
Who do we have on the line now?
Jason.
Jason. Thanks for helping us out. Jason, what have you got on your number plate?
I've seen a huddled up Monaro once with I am a deviate. IMADV8.
That's on your car, is it?
No, not my car. No shame.
Oh, what, just a close friend?
And did you get a look at the driver?
No, I didn't actually.
Right, so you can't tell us whether he was wearing tracksuit pants or not?
Probably moccasins, actually. I don't know.
Okay. All right, that's not a bad one. Any more, Mick?
Yeah, Les, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you, mate?
Good.
You could just have Les on the back of your car, couldn't you?
Thanks a lot, yeah.
Les, you know, you'd have to get... I'm sure there's a lot of other Les, so you'd probably be Les 17 by now. But, you know, I'd inquire. What's the one you've seen or got?
Well, the one I saw was on an RX-7 a few years ago, and I always remember it. This girl was absolutely stunning driving in this red RX-7, and on the number plate it was taken.
Now, Les, was this a dream of yours or something you really saw?
No fantasy, no. It happened at about 10 o'clock in the morning in Sydney.
Taken. Was it Joanne Capper by any chance? It sounds
no,
like it might have been.
It wasn't a pink one. It was a red one.
Les, I'll tell you what I get sick of. I get sick of seeing number plates like on that, like an RX-7 or something, and it's got Babe on it. You go, oh, I better get a closer look at this. And so you pull up and there's a guy looking like Mario Milano behind the wheel in a lumberjacket, and I'm going, you know, I've been duped.
I've seen two other ones too. There was one on a BMW and it said too hot for you.
Oh, yeah. That was Hugh Grant's BMW, most probably.
All right, thanks, Les. Have we got time for one more
minute? Oh, go on, let's throw it in. Scotty.
Yes, mate.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Good, yourself?
You've scraped in. You must be happy about that.
Yes, yes. I've got I'm here.
Oh,
I'm
really?
Here, you know. As you rock up to a crowd, I'm here.
So people just know you're different. There. People just go, oh, it's Scott.
Yeah, well, I'm here.
And you've got absolutely no compunction about letting the whole nation know about this, have you?
Mate, you're happening, you've got to be cool, you're out there. That's it, I'm here.
Are you in an RX-7 yourself?
No, mate, in a Falcon.
No, of course you are. Good old Aussie Falcon. Yeah. Okay, we're going to have to choose a winner, Mick. Who's it going to be?
Oh, look, what can we say? What about Les?
Les, are you there?
That'd be Les on 13.
We've got a lot. There's been phone trouble here today. We're not sure what's going on. Lines loose in the studio. That's what we're blaming.
Well, I'm on a mobile, so.
Good on you. Now, Les, you've got yourself, the three-pack of CDs. That's pretty exciting. Pull over.
Excellent.
Pull over because you don't want to have an accident.
I can't. I'm right in the middle of a traffic jam.
And be listening this time next week when we'll be reaching into the top hat once more to pull out another trip to Le Meridian at the Rialto in Melbourne. It could be you.
Sounds good.
Okay, and I'd just like to say, here's a number plate idea I've got for people living in Victoria.
Mm.
Because if you have a look at this, the personalised number plates in Victoria, they've got a little VIC at the top. They're blue and white. It's VIC. Mm. I think someone should just get Morrow. Because then it'd say Vic Morrow.
Mate, you never stop thinking, do you?
Obviously, it'd have to be, I think, a convertible. Think about it, people. Stick with me. We've got more sparkling entertainment coming up in the next hour when we'll be joined by Jane Kennedy.
This is Ben.
The new SAFM, now with the DJs Tony Martin and Mick Malloy.
You really don't care about my feelings, do you, Tony? You don't understand that you really hurt me sometimes.
Up with Tony Martin and Mick Malloy, 5 to 6, 987, or 5 to 6:30 weekdays by calling 1-900-987-444. And you could be off to spend 7 nights in Paris and get the chance to take a special message to the French government.
Too blue for me to repeat on air.
Get off on Tony Martin and Mick Malloy, 5 p.m. weekdays on the new SAFM.
SAFM.
It's a clean talking program.
Absolutely.
Fun loving, clean talking.
And it's the second hour, of course, is traditionally where we put the first hour behind us. Can you explain to me anything that happened in the first hour?
It's a blur.
I've been running around with, I don't know, Michael Caine's been going on. There was some kind of, there was lions running loose. There was a bloke in a top hat in there somewhere. Is today's show going out, do you
know? It is.
We'll listen to it back afterwards. All will be revealed, Tone.
There'll be an inquiry, but let's inject a bit of class into the program.
Please.
Now as we welcome somebody who we've been working with since the 80s. You remember the 80s. It's Jane Kennedy. Jane, thanks for coming in today.
That is a pleasure, Tony. Mick.
Jane, how are you?
I'm very well, thank
you,
chaps.
That's the one.
Now, I believe you went to see Batman Forever on the weekend.
I have to say, I was really disappointed.
Yeah.
It was really boring.
Well,
I'm sure it's not supposed to be.
That's what it said in the trailer.
It's boring. I don't think they were aiming for that. I don't think there was a directive that went out, guys, we've got to keep it boring.
Now, for my money, Nicole Kidman just didn't sizzle.
She didn't sizzle?
No.
She looks very glamorous in the trailer. Like, she's done the full Hollywood kind
of,
like, you know. She looks like a movie poster that moves.
She does. She's like Jessica Rabbit. But I thought, you know, that she was okay acting, but, you know, yeah. I certainly wouldn't have sex with her.
But, you know, Val Kilmer, latex suit, must have pushed some buttons.
Pushed a few buttons here, I have to say.
Indeed.
Blah, 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 boom.
But everyone who goes to see this film, Batman Forever, because I've seen it, and I always say to them, can you explain to me what the Riddler's scheme was? Jane, care to give it a go?
Look, that spike in the forehead in the TV.
He had
cabin.
TV. He was running. He seemed to be running a pay TV network. That's as far as I could tell.
It was preempting Galaxy. I think that's what it was.
I don't know what he was doing, but he certainly had the outfit. You know, he was ready for something. But if anyone knows, fax us please here at Martin Malloy. The number 1-800-816-679. But Jane, down to business. We had a photographer in here on Friday, and you know what it's like getting photographed, and they sort of want—they're looking for wacky poses.
They are now traditionally, you two selves included, with myself and the other chaps that we've worked with, the D Generation, we're not the best for photography material, are we?
No, they don't have a lot to work with.
They don't at all, particularly when we're as ourselves and we can't slip into some wacky, you know, character and point at one another.
Yeah, we can't go the Jonathan Coleman, the point, the mouth open for no reason, maybe a foot up in the air and maybe
exactly.
just wielding a giant prop.
We're quite pathetic, really. And as I was driving in, I was recalling an incident when we worked at another radio station years ago. And I don't know if you recall the Olympic rings incident.
Oh,
does that ring any bells? It was during Melbourne's pathetic bid for the Olympic Games. And a photographer came in and we knew we were in trouble because he walked in with five coloured hula hoops in the colours of the Olympic rings. And for some reason, I don't know what we were thinking at the time, but we agreed to hold the Olympic, these hula hoops aloft and put our heads in the middle. Yeah. And he got up high and sort of took the photo down. That was just a disgrace.
And not surprisingly, the Olympics went to Atlanta.
Well, there you go.
But you've been to the Logies, haven't
yes.
you? Yeah. And
yes.
I don't think we got Pete Smith to go the year that for the late show, but for Frontline, you went there and you must have been in the thick of photomania. What happened there?
Well, what happened, we accepted an award for Frontline, Tom Sandho and I, and I don't know if you know what goes on behind the scenes of the stage of the Logies, but they had this rather sort of pissy press set up, like they thought it was the Academy Awards,
oh,
but it
right.
really wasn't. Oh,
so see.
You go backstage and they've got this sort of Logie whacked on a wall with a bit of blue tack and you stand in front of it and there's about five really bored young journalists standing around asking you, well, how do you feel after your big win?
Right.
And only one really bothered asking us, and it was the guy from Wonderworld. And so we go, oh yes, we're very excited, and then no one else asked anything, so we left. And as we're walking out, this older journalist came up to us and he said, can I get you three in a photo? We said, oh, okay. So me, of course, girl, always in the middle, and
absolutely.
I'm holding the Logie, and Tom and Santa are beside me, and feeling uncomfortable, of course, as we're standing. He goes, and smile, and we were kind of smiling. We were actually quite, you know, pleased
sure.
to pick this up.
Yeah.
So we were being fairly natural, and he said, no, okay, now bigger. So we smiled a bit bigger. He goes, now, Jane, hold the Logie above your head, and the two boys point at her.
Oh, right. So a bit of a footy kind of a,
And for the first time, I said, no. And he said, what? I said, no, he goes, hold the Logie above your head. I said, no. And he goes, we'll stuff you then. And he walked on.
I can't do that, but I can ram it fair up your back passage, pal.
Oh, I was that close, Mickey. That close.
Oh, we're getting down to the juicy showbiz anecdotes now. Can you stick around for a while, Jane?
I'd love to.
Just enjoy some more better music and plenty of it right here on Martin Malloy. Jane Kennedy's with us on the panel today on Martin Malloy. And Jane, just before we get to Frontline, I've just thought of another story. We were talking earlier about being photographed with things.
Yes.
Last year, Mick and myself were trying to pitch an idea for a comedy program to Channel 9, fools that we were. And every time we'd go in there, the executive producer would go, yeah, that's good, but how would you feel about hosting this new show we've got called Don't Forget Your Toothbrush?
Oh, really?
And we go, we want to do what we, you know, what we did on the
own our show.
We want our own show.
Kiss
our show like we used to do. And he's going, no. Don't forget your toothbrush, guys. It's a win. It's you. It just says you. And I remember I said to Mick out in the corridor one minute, I'm going, we could do that, Mick, except I know that at some point we are going to have to be photographed with a giant prop toothbrush.
Yeah.
And it's going to
look bigger than Daryl Summers' tennis racket. Mm.
It's going to be made by the same people who make that big stack of dollar coins that Paul Clitheroe's always leaning on in his publicity shots. And I just don't want to do that. And I've opened up a magazine last week, and there's Tim Ferguson, cock-a-hoop, dancing around with a giant toothbrush. Oh. And good luck to him. He's a lovely bloke, and all the best to him. But that could have been us, Mick Malloy.
It could have been us. And,
I've got to hand it to Timbo. He's really cool with doing stuff like that. We would get, when we were doing Funky Squad, we would get really tense because we had to do it. And he was so cool, and he goes, look, do you want satire or do you want wacky? And I'll do wacky, that's cool. I can do satire too, but, you know.
He can just turn it on like Cotton
Cole. He is such a good sport. He can turn it on.
He wears many caps.
He does, and bright coloured suits.
Absolutely.
They've got him a new wardrobe of wacky suits for this show, I have to say.
They have.
But let's get to Frontline, the new series. It's looking good, and it's going well.
Yeah, it seems to be toddling along nicely.
But I have to say, the critics, I've read stuff about Frontline in your reviews that I don't think I've read in any other reviews of any other show. One critic said that Mike Moore's hair was parted on the wrong side. Another critic said there's not enough activity in the background. Well, you don't read that in anything. You don't read, oh yes, I like Schindler's List, but not enough people running about in the background.
It's quite extraordinary, isn't it? I find that it is. I mean, we had such a good run last year with the critics, and we just go, this can't last. No. We're waiting for it. And they've been really good this year as well, but some unusual things they have, I think.
Do you get that feeling they're just waiting for you to tip over, waiting for you to, cross the line?
Maybe.
Get yourself a big toothbrush.
Oh, no, it's on standby.
Get yourself a big toothbrush.
No, I'm getting myself a big wedding frock, because I reckon that's the next go for me.
Now, have you seen weddings?
Obsessed by it.
Are you?
I am obsessed with that show.
A Sylvania Waters-style appeal for you,
Carly
Jane?
And Paul in the first episode, they are my new heroes.
We haven't seen it yet, but are the characters emerging? Is there a Nolene? Ooh. Is there a Laurie?
My theory is, each week there is the bogan wedding and the stuck-up wedding.
Oh, okay.
So that's the way you got to look at it. And the bogans win hands down. So they don't care about that camera. They just want to have that wedding perfect. And it's great role model for women too, because it's the first time we're seeing women really starring in Australian television.
Not on wedding.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. And does it inspire you at all for possible marriage, Joan? Is that something on the horizon?
Anything you can break on the program before the TV
Come on,
week?
Give us something.
You know I'm free as a bird. Yeah, I've just always been out of those clubs. No, I'm see you out, clubbing away with all my mates.
Okay. All right. We might move back to Frontline.
Yes,
is that a good move?
I'm starting to blush.
Now, that new bloke, Kevin Wilson from New Zealand, he's tops.
Oh,
he's
good.
Doing
I'm
a
glad
great
you
job.
Like
yeah,
him.
Absolutely.
He's a great fellow, and we're really thrilled with him, and, a pretty tough shoes to fill, as he has often said. And apparently everyone in the streets coming up to him and saying, oh, mate, boy, how did you accept that role? God, you'll never do it.
I hope you know what you're doing, man.
That's what he's getting. But I think he does it. He's a very different sort of character. He's a bit gruffer and a bit sort of, more like a real executive producer, I think.
I haven't seen any of his previous work in New Zealand, but I'm guessing he's done Cops.
In New Zealand?
Has he played Cops?
I imagine, yes. He's played Detective Senior Sergeant something. Or other.
He looks like he would have been in Phoenix if he'd been living over here.
Damn it, Mac. Yeah, all that stuff.
Indeed. Well, Jane, all the best with the rest of the series. Is it still coming along? How many have you got in the can?
We've got, we've just finished editing episode number 5.
Right.
And so episode 3 goes to air tonight at 8 o'clock on the ABC.
Sorry, what was that time again, Jane?
8 o'clock ABC, and I noticed that you boys are very good in plugging our show.
Oh,
because
who'd
want to see that stinking Frasier? Oh,
and that talentless dog.
Oh, yeah, that dog.
It wears a raincoat. So what? What dog's that?
Oh, it's, I don't know.
Oh, we don't know. Don't worry. We won't bring it up again.
Okay, well, Jane, thanks for coming.
Oh, the dog. That's the dog that got eaten by that lion today, wasn't it? He's hoping.
That poor lion's dead. It's terrible.
So they haven't put the lion down, have they?
It died. They shot it.
Oh, yeah. They shot it.
They killed it.
It could have been rehabilitated. It could have been shown the error of its
ways. Didn't know what it was doing. It was talked into it by the other lions.
And those pesky antelopes.
The antelopes, they had something to do with it.
Okay, Jade, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure to see you guys.
Okay.
We have normality.
I'll return you to abnormal programming. Martin Malloy.
Let's move things along here on Martin Malloy and time for some movie news. Mm. I know Tom Cruise is very busy over in England, I think at Pinewood Studios, working on a new version of Mission Impossible. What's going on, Mick?
Well, Tony, Tom Cruise has forced the movie makers of that film to abandon a day's filming at a cost of $30,000. Listen to this. A 34-year-old star turned up on the set of Mission Impossible nursing a huge pimple on his face.
Right.
Now, panic-stricken makeup artist failed to mask the blemish and work had to be cancelled for the day on the $40 million film. Now, this is what I can't understand. They can digitally remove Michael Jackson's testicles from a video, but Tom Cruise gets a pimple and everyone gets sent home for the day. What does that tell you about the size of the Jackson Ghoulies?
Opinions on that? Well, I mean, it must be a pretty big pimple. How big is it, do you know?
We'll put it this way. When Nicole turns up on set with the young kitty they've adopted, the kitty likes to play in it, like one of those inflatable castles. Oh, no, it's hours of fun. Producers are considering actually giving the pimple its own speaking role. It's already got an agent, that's true. On set, it's got its own caravan next to Tom's. When he has to film a scene, you know, someone comes along, knocks on the door and goes, 5 minutes, Mr. Cruise, and then pops next door and goes, 5 minutes, Mr. Pimple. And I hate to say it, but the pimple's becoming a bit of a showbiz arsehole. Turning up late, throwing tantrums. A dishevelled Drew Barrymore was seen emerging from the pimple's trailer. You know, I think it's this sexiest pimple alive tag has kind of gone to its head. And
right.
We all know what a big, black, ugly head that thing's got. Now, the producers have been left with this choice. Lance it or write it into the script. And that's what they've decided to do. And I've got a preview of the new Mission Impossible film. Let's take a listen.
Okay, now all I've got to do is find that recorded message. Where would they have put it? Oh, ow, what the? Oh, I'm getting a pimple. Jeez, what a whopper. There's a button on it.
Hello, Jim. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to find a tube of Clarasil the size of a petrol tanker. Good luck. This pimple will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Oh, God. Somebody. Oh, my God.
This is your captain speaking, so stop whatever you're doing.
Vogue Furniture next to Tea Tree Plaza and Grove Street City. Hurry, offer ends May.
We've got to go. Thanks to our guests today, Jane Kennedy, Michael Caine, Leonie at the Melbourne Zoo, and all our gladiators. Tomorrow we'll be joined once again by comedian Andrew Goodwin. But until then, remember, if you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.